Got a Bible? I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, as we begin. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture this morning that kind of sets the stage for what we're going to be talking about today. And so we're going to begin in verse 22. Of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Amen. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There's also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84, and she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, and coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And we'll stop there in the reading. Amen? Now, there are a lot of powerful words in our English language. But by far, one of the most powerful words is the word hope. Hope. Webster defines hope in this way: to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true. A hope. And hope does so much for the human soul, doesn't it? How many know that to be true? One of the things that hope does is it opens our hearts to the possibility that our lives can be different. That's what hope brings. The possibility that our lives can change, that our lives can be different for the better. And I want to start today by asking some questions as we move into this theme today of the invitation that God is giving to us of hoping. What are you hoping for? You don't have to answer out loud, but I'm just inviting you to think about that question. What are you hoping for? What dreams or hopes do you have in your life? What are you still waiting on to happen in your life? Something that you're hoping for, you're still waiting on that thing to be true or to come to pass in your life. Or maybe in the life of someone else, what are you hoping for? Maybe in the life of a family member. What is it that you're hoping for? You know, as we move along this morning, I want to encourage all of us to be thinking of the things that we're currently hoping for. The things that we're currently hoping for. Or maybe even things that you once hoped for to happen, but no longer do so. I want you to be thinking about those things this morning as we move on. But probably it could be said of most of us that we've lost more hope than we've gained in our lives. That could be said of many of us. We've lost more hope than we've gained in our lives. To coin the phrase, there are things that we've given up all hope of ever happening in our lives. And I think there's some good reasons for this, and I want to suggest to you three reasons. I'm sure you could think of some more reasons why we give up all hope. But I think there are three reasons that stand out, at least to me. I want to share those with you today. First of all, we lose hope because there's no activity regarding our dream. Nothing's happening. There's not even been a glimmer of hope, right? No changes have come about. We don't see anything changing in the distant future. We've waited a long time in hope, and nothing seems to be happening. There's just no activity surrounding this thing we're hoping in. And we tend to give up on that hope. The second thing is we lose hope, I think, sometimes because we stop talking about that dream that we once had. We just stop talking about it. You know, that dream of a better you. You know that one? Right? That dream of a better life, that dream of a better relationship, dream of a better marriage, a better body, whatever it is, right? We just stop talking about that thing that we're hoping for, we're dreaming of. And how many know there's something to this thing of verbalizing our hopes? There's power in verbalizing our personal dreams and our hopes. You know, being our own personal, motivational coach. I mean, the preacher's on fire, right? Becoming our own personal motivational coach. There is something to telling yourself, all right, about your dreams, repeating those dreams out loud, letting those dreams continue to percolate in your soul. But sometimes we just stop talking about the things that we're hoping in, and we lose some hope. Thirdly, we lose hope because the emotions surrounding our dream are not one of excitement and anticipation. The emotions that surface mostly are emotions of pain, sorrow, maybe even anger, because it's not come to pass. It's not happened. Where is God in my hope? So what do? Let's not talk about it. Let's not think about it. Let's just give up on it. And so those are some three reasons I think that we have this tendency to lose hope in our lives. And that answers somewhat the question of why we quickly lose hope. But then there's this question of what? What happens, right, when we lose hope? We're really attuned to this one, what happens when we lose hope. We're so familiar with what happens when we lose hope in our lives. The first thing that happens is there's resignation. There's this soulish resignation. We just resign ourselves to the fact that our hope was a pipe dream. It's just a pipe dream. It's never going to happen. And we resign. We have this resignation within ourselves, and then there's this depression that sets in, and then following that, is this lack of motivation, and then that leads us to just going through the motions. How many have ever been to a place where you're just going through the motions? You just set it on cruise control, and you're just going through the motions, and nothing changes from day to day in your life. Finally, because of the disappointment surrounding our unfulfilled hope, we just don't have the energy and the hope to dream about anything else. It's not in us to dream in other ways, to hope in other ways, and so we just stop. We know the what, don't we? We know that all too familiar. And so, but I want to say this morning that the good news, the Bible has a lot to say about hope. A lot to say. How many know that? And these events that surrounded the advent or the first coming of Jesus are events that are filled with hope. They're all filled with hope. And I want to just encourage you, just as a little step aside here, I just want to encourage you to spend the month of December reading about the arrival and the birth of Jesus in the Gospels, particularly Matthew and Luke. And take your time this December and immerse yourself in the advent of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Immerse yourself in all of those events. Put yourself in the shoes of the characters that are involved as you're reading them. Imagine what they might have felt. What their experience was like to be a part of the most magnificent event in all of history. Put yourself in that place as you are walking through this journey leading up to the celebration of Jesus coming, his birth. God becoming flesh, right? The incarnation of God. And so I want to encourage you just to spend the month just soaking yourself in that gospel narrative of the coming of Jesus, if you would. How many think that's a good idea? Right? Amen. So today we actually walk a few steps ahead of the birth of Jesus. We're way ahead in the birth of Jesus, the Savior. We find ourselves in the temple with a man named Simeon. The scriptures offer very little in the way of biography. We actually are really told very little about this guy named Simeon. It appears he was an Israelite. But we don't have any information about what tribe he was from. We know nothing about his family. We know nothing. We don't know if he was married. We don't know if he had any children. We're told nothing about his occupation. All we know is that we have this guy named Simeon. But there's one verse that tells us about the kind of person that Simeon is. And that verse is verse 25, and you might see it there. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. That's all we know about Simeon is the kind of person that he is or was, the kind of person that he was, the character that which he had. Here was a man who lived in ways that pleased God, probably concerned with keeping all the commandments well. Simeon was devout, the Bible says, devoted to following Yahweh, the God of Israel. He was a man who had maintained his commitment to God for decades. Seemingly, he's an old man, at least that's depicted by the writer Luke. And thirdly, he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Simeon was open and to the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. In case you missed it, the Holy Spirit's mentioned three times in this event that Simeon's involved in. Three different times. First, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Secondly, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to die, but he was going to see the Messiah. By the Holy Spirit, revealed that to him. Thirdly, it says that he was moved. But how many have been moved by the Holy Spirit? How many have you ever been moved to do something or to go to someone or to speak to someone or to pray with someone or to go to this particular place and all of a sudden God has a moment for you, a divine moment where you encounter an individual and you're able to bless them or minister to them? How many have ever had that occasion? Right? Yeah. Here, Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit, went into the temple courts. And it might be good to pause to note how Simeon's life challenges our faith journey. Because as followers of Jesus, the Scripture says that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? True? Paul said to the Corinth Christians that they were anointed by God and he set his seal of ownership on them, and he put his Spirit in their hearts as the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That is heaven, right? And so each one of you have the deposit, have the gift of the Holy Spirit residing within your life. That's worth an amen. So a good question to gauge whether we're living as men and women of the Spirit is this. It's a sobering question. If God were to withdraw the Holy Spirit from me, would I even notice the difference? And I heard this, if God were to withdraw his Holy Spirit from me, would I even know the difference in my life? Because to walk by the Spirit means to depend upon him consciously in everything that we do, right? We depend upon him to resist temptation. We ask for him, insight from him as we're reading his word, the Scriptures. We rely on him for the right attitude in the midst of struggle and trial. We seek him for wisdom to make difficult decisions. We expect the Holy Spirit to lead us in specific ways on a daily basis. How much are we being led by the Holy Spirit? And that's a question that you'll have to wrestle with on your own with God and investigate that with him through prayer and just ask him where you're at in terms of walking, living, being moved by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. But let's get back to Simeon. Here's a man who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die, right, until he had seen Jesus. And Luke paints this picture of, let's just say, he's an old man. I'm not going to put an age on it, all right? But he had spent his life waiting. Spent his whole life waiting. And times weren't the greatest. The people of Israel had not heard from God for years. No prophet in Israel for over 400 years. No prophet. They'd lost their political independence, Israel did. They were now under Roman rule. They lived in fear of a cruel king called Herod. And few wondered if the Messiah would ever come at all. 400 years of silence. And it would have been easy for Simeon to think, why should I expect that it's going to happen in my lifetime? But that's not what Simeon did. This is incredible. Simeon is such an incredible model for us of a person who refused to give up hope. He refused. In fact, the language that is used for the word waiting means to wait forward. I love that. To wait forward. Implies that Simeon continued to wait with this sense of hope, with this sense of expectation, with this sense of excitement. He was waiting forward. He was looking forward. You ever look forward to something? Like a nap? No, I'm just kidding. Right? Or what, you ever just look forward to getting together with your children, to getting together with your grandchildren, having your family together? You look forward. There's so many things we look forward to, aren't there? I don't know where that came from. Maybe I'm looking forward to that. Waiting forward, to wait forward. And we have a hard time relating to this type of waiting. Right? Honestly. Waiting for us means a bored waiting. There's four people ahead of us in the self-checkout. What do you do? I mean, you're so bored. I mean, not even the magazines are interesting. The headlines are like, right, alien baby. You know that one? We wait impatiently, don't we? Sometimes we are pretty apathetic when we wait. We just, oh God. You know that? We're not good at waiting. We're terrible at waiting. We're terrible waiters. I don't know if that's worthy of an amen, but. So we don't need really reminded that hoping and waiting go hand in hand, don't they? It's two sides of a coin. If you are going to hope in something, you're going to have to wait on it. True? So I want to press a little deeper into this idea of waiting, because at any given point, you're going to find yourself waiting on something. But here's the cool thing, is that sometimes we find ourselves waiting for something that will change the very course of our lives. Huh? Big things we wait for. A personal breakthrough in our lives. A relationship to get mended that's broken. A healing in our life. Or in the life of someone we love. The God maybe to move in our finances, or the right guy or girl to come along in our life. Whatever, right? There's some things that we find ourselves waiting for that can actually alter the very course of our lives. How many believe that? And when we find ourselves waiting on those things for a long time, we can begin to start throwing up questions to God, toward God. Why are you allowing this? Are you there? You know that one? Do you care? Are you there and do you care? It's a big one. Usually with a fist. Our faith grows weary in the waiting, and I'm sure you've experienced this. I know I have. It's like we pray, but God doesn't seem to be listening. We trust Him, but it appears He's letting us down. We seek, we don't find it. We knock, there's no one answering. He's not answering, nobody's answering. There's no answer at all. Do you know that drill? There's a verse of Scripture that can help you and me when we're waiting for God to do something in our lives. And it's found in Romans 15, verse 4. Just write it down. It's up on the screen. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. We might have, say it again. Louder. You see, what happens often, what we do when we're waiting and we're hoping for God to respond and to move in our lives, to bring something, to change something, or to alter something, is that we do two things. We give up too soon and we put down our Bibles. That's what we do. But this one verse, in this one verse, are two things that can sustain our hope in the waiting period, in the waiting part, right? Two things is the spirit of endurance and the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I need both in my life. How many need a spirit of endurance? We all know we need the Word of God and the strength that it brings and the direction and the life that it brings our lives, right? But in this book right here are countless accounts of men and women who have endured a whole lot more than we have. And they waited on God to answer their prayers. And they can inspire us then to keep on trusting God and to continue to endure in our faith. Amen? So, in our waiting and in our hoping, what will help us is to press into God's presence and to press into God's Word when we're waiting. Not withdraw, not fall back, not shrink back, but press in. Does that make sense? And one of the reasons that we need to do this and to press in with greater endurance and trust in God and relying upon the Word of God, the strength of the Word of God, is that our enemy Satan is also doing something in the waiting. The enemy is working to see that our hope and our trust in God sinks. And he never lets up. And he offers us this lie of his words can't be relied upon. God has abandoned you. God has not worth trusting in this situation in your life. God doesn't care about you. And on and on and on are the lies that the enemy gives to you while you're waiting. But this is the best news of all, and we shouldn't forget this because it's so important. God is working in the waiting. God is working in our waiting. You can't see it, maybe. It feels like he's not, maybe. But God is working in the waiting. And often what God does in those long delays, in the space between our desperate prayers and his response, you know, and sometimes that space is pretty long, isn't it? That space between our desire, our prayer, our longing, and the place where it actually gets fulfilled, we're like Simeon. And we wait for such a long time. And in that space, God's not absent. God's refining us. God's producing his character in us. Do you wonder? It's no wonder Simeon had such an amazing character, had the character of God in his life, was so devout and faithful and committed and full of forward anticipation, because he had a long period of waiting, didn't he? God did something in that, in his life. But you know, we can do something in our waiting. We can do something while we're waiting. We can encourage ourselves while we're waiting. Do you know the Bible calls us to encourage ourselves? We can actually encourage ourselves. The psalmist said this in Psalm 42. It says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" He's talking to himself. Put your hope in God, Bruce. Put your hope in God, Greg. For I will yet praise him. I will yet praise. I will still praise him. I will continue to praise him. I won't stop praising him. I don't care what happens. I'm going to keep on praising him and praising him and praising him and praising him. That's what I'm going to do, Bruce. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to endure. I'm going to rely on God's word, and I'm going to rely on the presence. I'm not going to do it, Bruce. I'm going to keep on moving on. Sounds weird. Sure has encouraged me. There's help in the waiting from God. And we wouldn't do the account justice if we didn't talk a little bit about Simeon and Anna, right? And what they were hoping for, because they were both hoping for something. Luke says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of God. And Anna was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, the redemption of Israel. The comfort of God and the redemption of God. Simeon was waiting for the day that God's promise would be fulfilled, waiting for Emmanuel, God with us, to arrive and make everything right, right? He was waiting for God to come near them and bring comfort to his people and console them for their loss and their fear and their rejection and their loneliness. And he was waiting for God to draw alongside of the people of God, right? And Anna was looking forward to the same Messiah, but she was looking for something different. She was looking for forgiveness. She was looking forward to God's promised Savior bringing lasting mercy and grace and the redemption of sins. And if you look and read the scripture again, you can see the difference. We have the consolation, the comfort of God, and we have the salvation of God, or the redemption of God, the forgiveness of God, and they're both waiting for these things. And here's the cool thing. In this one converging moment where Joseph and Mary and Simeon and Anna, they all collide in the temple, hope is fulfilled. It's amazing. Hope is fulfilled in this one converging moment. And Simeon and Anna both see and witness the arrival of God's comfort and the arrival of God's forgiveness in this one converging moment. I'd have loved to have been there to feel the atmosphere of hope in those temple grounds, and to be right next to Simeon and Anna as they can't contain themselves. Hope has been fulfilled, and they are bursting at the seams. Amen. Let me finish with this. We've entitled this series, The Invitation. And in celebrating Christmas, we're invited to peace, right, that we really can't explain. And we're invited to love that never fails. We're invited to joy that is too great for words. But we're also invited to hope that doesn't disappoint us. And I want you to think of beginning this week, moving forward, this Christmas. I want you to think of it this way. We all get all kinds of pieces of mail every day, don't we? Usually it comes in two forms: junk mail and bills. Right? I mean, let's face it. It's like toss, toss, toss. It's the insurance man again wanting my business. You know, it's like State Farm, Comcast, Xfinity. Yeah, they want my business. You know, Hughes.net. Psh, got that one? Yeah. Junk mail and bills. But here's the thing. Occasionally, you're a mail guy, you know. Occasionally, another piece of mail comes along in our mailbox that we recognize instantly, don't we? It's an invitation to a wedding. or a birthday party or a graduation. We know those invitations. We recognize those pretty quickly. I want you to think of this Christmas as God sending you some invitations. But here's the thing, it's up to us to open them and to respond. We have to open those invitations. And then there's always a place to RSVP, right? Send it back. You've responded. We need to be like Simeon and Anna. They were movers, right? The Holy Spirit prompted them to move. They moved. They responded. This is how we need to be. When God prompts us to do something, we need to do it. We need to respond. And what we need to do the most, though, is open God's invitation of comfort today. His invitation of comfort. And the forgiveness of Jesus as he draws near to us this morning. And so God is, I believe, offering many of us an invitation to hope again. An invitation to hope. You've given up hope. You've lost all hope. And God is giving you an invitation to hope again. Won't you pray with me right now? God, we ask that you would come and extend some invitations today. Come with your presence. Holy Spirit, just move upon us. Addressing the places where we need to hope again. Two ways that we can open the invitation. Some of us might be really hurting right now. You're feeling discouraged. We might be feeling disappointed, rejected, forgotten. We need the comfort and the consoling of God to come into our lives. We need some fresh hope. We need God to draw alongside of us. And not really even give us anything or provide us anything, but just his presence, just the gift of his presence to hold on to. So if you need the comfort of God today and you feel like the Holy Spirit's inviting you, I'm going to ask that you would just open up that invitation and respond and why don't we just do this? Just simply slip out into the aisle. Maybe so one of our prayer team can pray with you. You need the comfort of God. Just step out into the aisle. Respond. You need his comfort. Hard to step out in the aisle, just stand up and say, Lord God, would you come comfort me? I need comfort. I need consoled. I need to know you're with me. Maybe your invitation to hope is to hear a word of forgiveness from your Heavenly Father. There's a nagging sin or attitude in your life. It's just really held you back spiritually. You're ashamed of it. The forgiveness of the Father is here. It's deep. It's wide. There's hope for you. There's forgiveness. Just invite you to stand where you're at and just receive His word of forgiveness. You want to know that you're forgiven. Just respond. Nobody knows what it is, but you are God. But you need His forgiveness. One of the things that we know, God, is that your love never disappoints. Your hope never disappoints. I pray that you would just be God, the God of hope, to each and every one of us, right where we need it, right in the places where we need to hope again. Where we've given up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Let's stand together. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. God, we want to have your hope deposited within our hearts today. And so we say yes and amen to it. We open the invitation. We receive it. We embrace it. We say that we're going to be people of hope, people who hope forward. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in hope. Be blessed.